Today's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. I'm reading from the New International Version. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your sons ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. He ends the reading.
Thank you. Thank you, Lucy. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Yeah. Hope you're all doing well out there. It's good to see people in church today, as well as people on Zoom. And I want to wish everybody a happy Father's Day. Today, we actually have a time to celebrate gifts. I got this chocolate as one of my Father's Day gifts today, and hopefully all the fathers are getting at least something, if either a smile or a phone call or a chocolate or something like that. So happy Father's Day to you all. Today's topic is the example of the father. And with this particular topic, there are many people who have different experiences of fatherhood. When you think about your own experience of a father, it could be one that is quite distant. I know some people who never met their fathers for various circumstances due to the mother and father separating before the child was born, or due to bereavement or other reasons. Some people never know their father, or some people have fathers who have lived for a long time in other parts of the world, and so they're quite remote from fathers. Whereas many people have a very different experience of a father who was around a lot, a father who they've connected well with. And when I just appreciate that when we talk about human fathers, there's a broad range of experiences of fathers and a broad range of examples. And some will think of a father as one who works very hard. Some will think of a father who jokes a lot and doesn't work very hard. Some will think of a father who jokes a lot and does work very hard. Some will think of a father who's very athletic and sporty. Some people will think of a father who's a good chef or a good cook. There's very, very many different examples of father. And just because someone is a father, it doesn't mean they kind of can fit a particular stereotype. Fatherhood is a privilege, and it's something that we recognise on Father's Day. And for Christians to think of the concept of a father, it also is one that's actually in Scripture. In the Old Testament, the Hebrews talk about Abba Father, the God who is very close to them and has a relationship with God's people like that of a good father, one who is a good example, one who is a kind example, one who provides, one who guides, one who corrects. And there's different examples of fatherhood and fathers. And so in this message today, I'm just thinking about the example of a father. And there are numerous times when Jesus spoke to his disciples about the Father. He said that he came from the Father. He encouraged his disciples to pray to the Father. Often when he spoke to the Hebrew people, he would talk about their father and referring to this Old Testament concept of the father who is the one over the people of Israel. And I just want to move on to the next slide, which is the scriptures that we have. And this passage here comes from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel. And it's a time when Jesus was really teaching his disciples how to relate to their Heavenly Father, how to relate to God in a way that they could have a sense of purpose and a really strong relationship. And in amongst that, he's teaching them about prayer and about relating to God. And he says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And in this particular verse, in fact, the two verses there, Jesus is encouraging the disciples to actually be confident to approach the Father. Now, a good father is one who can be approached. Sometimes people have an image of a father and they were brought up in a home where they should be listened and not spoken. And they really don't have the opportunity to speak very much to the Father, and they never have the opportunity to question or challenge the Father. Now, I think we can learn from here that if God encourages his people to ask him and to seek and to really knock on the doors, then I think we who are human fathers should at least allow our children to ask questions, ask the hard questions, and don't be afraid. If your children ask you a question, it's not always a criticism. They're often wondering what's happening for you, or why you're doing something, or why you're thinking something, or why you're feeling something, or why you made a particular decision, whether it's to do with a lifestyle decision, a purchase, a response to a particular situation. It is good for children to ask, and here Jesus is encouraging Christians to ask God. And he says an astounding thing. He's talking in the Sermon on the Mount in the context of faith, and he says, ask and it will be given to you. And he's encouraging his disciples to approach the Heavenly Father with a sense of confidence that an answer will be given. And he says, knock. Now, these days we have remote entries. You can have remote entries to cars, remote entries to doors, remote entries to buildings. But back in that day, they didn't have any electronic or digital devices. If you wanted to someone to let you into a door that was closed, you had to announce yourself and knock. And we have the privilege of asking God and approaching God and saying, God, I'm here with a question. God, I'm here with a need. And we all have the opportunity to ask. And there's a promise here that the door will be opened. And we always have an open door to God. One of my favorite stories about fathers in the Bible is that of the prodigal son. And the father in that story is a metaphor for God, is an image of God. And the two sons are typical of two human sons. One who is a diligent, well-behaved son who wants to really stay with the father and really connect with the family's integrity and the family's status. And then the other one is a son who just looks at the father initially as someone who is a resource for money and asks him for half of his inheritance. He goes away, he spends his part of the inheritance on all sorts of things. But I don't want to talk about the prodigal son story in detail, but one thing we can learn from that story is that both of those sons were able to ask the father for things. In both those stories, both were able to approach the father and talk to the father openly. And that good father obviously had a relationship with both of his sons, the diligent one and the rebellious one, and they were both felt that they could approach the Father and ask for things. And that's a very, very good example. If God is like that, then we who are human fathers should at least be prepared for questions and not be afraid if our children ask us questions that are challenging. There's no harm in saying no or no thank you or sort of identifying that you have values that might be different to what the question's asking for. But we can always have an open door, and we should always have an open door to our children. And here, this father obviously will open the door for those who ask. And he says, for everyone who asks, they receive. Everyone who seeks, finds. and those who knock, the door will be opened. Now, we have, you know, my children are grown up now, they're adults, and I have a granddaughter, and sometimes a granddaughter, she's only two, and she will ask for things, just with two or three words, sometimes one word, and she's learning that sometimes she might ask for something and will say no, or no, you've got to wait. Sometimes a no means she's not going to get it at all. Other times the no, you've got to wait, means not now, we've got some other things to do first. And for us as God's people, when we ask, when we knock, when we seek, when we approach the Father that way, that's often the situation too. God is not a vending machine who will give things automatically regardless of what we ask for. We often have to ask, and there is always an open door. We can receive, we can receive an answer that might not be the answer we want. Now, I know you might, those of you who are over 60 will probably remember the Rolling Stones song, "You can't always get what you want, but you always get what you need." And even though the Rolling Stones are not pillars of society as far as morals go, there's a lot of truth in that saying. We can ask God for things, and we don't always get what we want. But we can trust that God loves us as a good Father, and he will give us the answer that we need, even if it's not what we want. And this is the approach in the prodigal son, and it's the approach that's seen in Old Testament as well as New Testament principles several times when the fatherhood of God is identified. And then he says in the next passage, in the next verses, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? Then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do good to others that you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Can we have the next slide, please? One of the statements in that passage is, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" Now, we know that bread, in fact, I don't, sliced bread actually wasn't produced or mass-produced back in the days of Jesus. So I haven't got a biblically correct picture there. But they still have bread. Bread has been used in different forms, leavened and unleavened, for thousands of years. And bread has always been part of communities' staple diets. We know that indigenous communities in Australia made a form of bread. We know that communities in Asia, communities in Europe, communities in Africa, communities in South America have all made bread. And bread is something that's made from certain grains, and it does provide a sustenance. It provides a sense of goodness and something that helps us to sustain our daily living. And the question that Jesus answers is, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" Now, only a bad father would give a child a stone if they ask for bread, or a father who was trying to make some sort of point that's a bit extreme would make that do that. A good father gives appropriate gifts. And this is part of the good example of a father. An appropriate gift is one that will be of benefit and consistent with good values. And that's a very, I can't give the details of how you actually do that, because that's a very subjective thing. Sometimes only you can work out with your child what a good gift is. But a good father has the intent to give appropriate gifts, gifts that are worthwhile, gifts that are helpful, gifts that are good. And we can have confidence that when we ask God for something, that he will give us an appropriate gift, a gift that is valuable, a gift that is sustaining. And we can trust God to give us also what we need. Now, in that picture there, there's some pictures of some eggs. Now, that's actually an Easter picture. And the reason I chose that picture was that At Easter time, people from particularly a Greek background or a European background will have painted boiled eggs. And that's a reminder of the gift that comes to us through Christ. And we can trust that God will give us the things that we need and things that are important to us when we ask him for them. And that's a wonderful privilege that we have to receive those things. And I hopefully you like eggs. Most people like eggs. Some people don't like eggs. If you don't like eggs, imagine something else is in that basket there, whether it's fruit or chocolate or something else that's nice. Well, we can trust God to give us the things that we need. And I want you to think just now, what is something that you need? I know Ben's mentioned concerns people have about the health of the nation, the health of their friends. Do you have any particular things you want to ask God for regarding health, regarding how governments are managing their health situation and managing the virus? You can ask God for those things. Ask God for answers about those things. Ask God for answers about how to keep living well when things have changed to some degree. But we can trust God to give us the things we need. And I encourage people always to ask God for questions about anything that's really important to them in life. I do some marriage preparation with people, and I'm also frequently with people who have tricky situations to do with their health and even end-of-life issues. And I always encourage people to pray directly to God, to ask him to give them answers and to give them resources for the things that they need. Now, can we move on to the next slide? The next slide is actually, there's a couple of things I want to talk about as far as how we can actually apply this teaching in the passage. Now, in verse number 10, Jesus says, "If he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" So we're encouraged to ask. And then he says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Now, firstly, for fathers, if you're not sure about how to give a gift to your child, or you want to know how to give a gift to your child, or what sort of gifts to give, think about what would you like. Now, I'm sure that a three-year-old would not want a new electric razor, or a five-year-old girl would not necessarily need a whippersnipper or a V8 supercar. But think about if you were in their situation, what would be a good gift for you as far as their needs go, whether it be something quite small in value but significant to that person. Then think about what if I was in their position, if I was in a situation, what would you like? And for some people, it could be as simple as for those of us who have relatives who are living in different parts, and if anybody has a relative in Victoria, if you have a child or a parent living in Victoria at the moment, or living in some of the states in the United States, or some of the parts of India or other parts of Nepal, or places that are particularly isolated and due to lockdowns at the moment, then just an email, a phone call, a FaceTime message, a Zoom call, that can be a wonderful gift to people who are feeling isolated at the moment. And so a good father really thinks about what the needs of others. And also we need to think about what is our legacy? What are we leaving for our children? What are we leaving for others? The good father thinks about the results and the effects of what they leave behind. Sometimes I'm involved in helping families move a person from their home into aged care. And sometimes the legacy that the fathers leave behind is a lot of good memories, a lot of good things, but also a lot of stuff. Some fathers' houses are full of all sorts of things. And part of the legacy involves leaving the children a whole lot of things to sort out, a lot of unfinished business, a lot of unfinished projects. Now, I think as far as our legacy goes, we should be careful that we don't have too much unfinished business with our children. If you haven't talked much about caring for your children or loving your children, then tell them that you love them. If there is anything that has caused a grudge or unforgiveness, then sort out that account. You know, Paul told Christians not to let the sun go down on their anger. And part of our legacy should be leaving good things behind for our children and leaving good things for our children. So keeping short accounts, sorting out any unfinished business, helping people to have a sense of that the fathers are leaving good things for their children is a good thing. Now, I'm not just talking about, I'm not presuming that all of us are going to pass away in the next few weeks, but it's always good to think about what is our legacy? What are we leaving our children? What memories are we giving our children? And this applies equally to mothers as well as fathers. Another application is, what good things has God given us? What can we appreciate? What good gifts can we appreciate from God? How thankful are we for those things? Do we thank God for what he's provided? And also, what can we ask God for? Is there anything particularly that you would like to ask the Father for? We've been encouraged to ask. We've been encouraged to seek. We've been encouraged to knock. Is there any question that you have about your own life, about your own family, and particularly as we're talking about Father's Day, is there anything about your own experience of fatherhood that you want to ask God to bring a sense of understanding, a sense of wisdom, and possibly even a sense of healing about? And we can ask God for those things and be confident that God will give us good things. I'd like to actually finish this message with a prayer, which is on this next slide. And it's a Father's Day prayer. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, bless all the fathers in the world. Father, we ask that you guide them to be good role models and loving to their children. We also ask that you would help them to be a father like you are. Please give them grace and patience to handle situations in a loving way. Amen. Amen.